I want you to take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. There's two words in this chapter that I am going to focus in upon this morning. I'm dealing with this in my own heart, and I hope that when we finish here, you will be too. Luke chapter number 16, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn there with me, I want to read here in Luke chapter number 16. If you have an old Scofield Bible, that's on page 1098 in your old Scofield Bible. Luke chapter number 16, if you got your place, say amen. Amen. All right, let's read together here now in Luke chapter number 16. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now I want you to notice the contrast of that, those two statements there in verse number 22. The Bible reminds us that the Lazarus died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said the rich man died and also was buried. Nothing is mentioned there about him being carried by the angels into Abraham's presence. Notice in verse number 23. The Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now notice the little S on the word torments. More signifying more than just one. More than just one torment. He mentions that here in verse 23. Being in torments. And seeth for Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 24 says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And the Bible said, and send Lazarus, that he may tip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and Lazarus was Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They will repent. And he said unto him, I want you to notice verse number 31. And he said unto him, if they have Moses and the prophets, if they have Moses and the prophets, I want you to get that. If they have Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now I want to call your attention this morning back up to the verse where it says, Son, remember. Look in verse 25. The Bible said, but Abraham said, Son, remember. I want to talk to you this morning on that thought. Oh, son, remember. Abraham here in this passage of scripture did not mention to this man about the fires of eternity damnation. He did not mention about the sufferings of hell, though the rich man talked about torments himself. He talked about lest his brothers come to the place of torment. Abraham did not mention the length of eternity here in these verses. Abraham did not mention the man's religion. In fact, the matter is, we don't know how religious this man was. But the Bible here reminds us that Abraham does not talk about eternity to this rich man. The Bible tells us here that Abraham and this rich man had a conversation. Now, may I just remind you that this takes place after the rich man has already died. It takes place after he's already in eternity. It takes place already after he's where he's going to spend eternity. It's in a place beyond the mercy of God. It's in a place where he never will escape. Here Abraham simply says to this rich young man, he says, "Son, remember. Son, remember." Now, may I say to you this morning, the thing that makes hell and eternity and torment so bad is the fact that you cannot stop remembering. You cannot cut it off. You cannot turn a switch and turn your mind off. It lasts all through eternity. And here Abraham simply says to this man, "Son, remember. Remember." Now, may I say to you this morning that as a young person, we all have remembrance. We can remember things as a young person. We can remember things as a teenager. We can remember things as a young adult. We can remember things as we get in the middle age of our life. And then when we get old, we remember all the way back to our childhood when we were just young. I remember in my own life, things just happened back yonder years ago. For some reason, those things are locked in our mind that we never do forget. You remember your mom. You remember your dad. You remember what they told you. You remember what they did. Oh, he says, "Son, remember." He's wanting this rich man to remember about the past as well as the future. And so he says to this man here in eternity, "Son, remember." Now, in the Bible, in some of the books, you'll find the word remembrance. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12, here's what Jesus said we're to do. He says, "Remember and forget not the Lord." Boy, that's a good thing for us to do this time. Is remember the Lord. We need to remember Him. We need to remember why we're here. And we need to remember this is the Lord's day. It's not our day, it's the Lord's day. He said, "Remember me." The Lord doesn't want us to forget Him. Then in 1 Corinthians 11 and 2, Jesus said, "Remember ye me." Once again, He's reminding us not to forget the Lord. Here Abraham said to a young man, "Son, remember." And then in 1 Corinthians 11, 24, Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you this day. Do in remembrance of me." When we take the Lord's Supper, we remember Him. It's not about us. It's not about our religion. It's not about our church. It's not about individuals, but it's about the Lord. He said, "Remember me," is who He says. It'd be well for us to remember Him. Then in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Jesus said these words. "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." What about that? He said, "Remember the words of the Lord. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." We need to remember those words. Amen. Then he says in Revelation 2 and 5, Jesus said, "Remember thou whence thou art fallen." Remember how it was when you was lost and undone without God. You didn't remember those days. You didn't remember where you came from. You didn't pack your own chute. You didn't get here by accident. And we need to remember the Lord who brought us from where we were to where we are today. We need to remember the Lord. Oh, yes. Then in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, Jesus said, now listen to this one. Jesus said, and thou shalt remember all the ways of the Lord thy God that lead thee for 40 years in the wilderness. He's speaking to Israel. He said, Israel, you need to remember who it was that guided you and directed you and led you for 40 years. Now listen, did you know God fed those Jews twice every day for 40 years? How many days have God fed you? How many times had the Lord opened up the windows of heaven and blessed you, friend, and you didn't know where it was coming from? Oh, he's been better to us than we ever deserve. All of us here this morning ought to be in hell with our neck broke. But the Lord's goodness has brought us thus far. We need to remember that. Now let me give you two or three little old things and we'll go to house. Y'all favor that? Say amen. Amen. I'm wondering in my own heart this morning as I read these verses, and I've read them many times before, but I never had them quite focused in on those two little old bitty words, son, remember. Son, remember. Son, remember. Now let me say first of all this morning, I wonder if Jesus is going to say someday when we stand before him and we give an account of this life and our motives for this life and the reason of this life, I wonder if Jesus is going to say to us, son, remember. Remember what, preacher? What do you think maybe he might ask us, do we remember? Well, I think he might ask us if we remember all the times that we could have been in church without excuse and we failed to go. I wonder if he's going to say, son, remember. Now, let me just say to you this morning, if you're sick and cannot come, that's one thing. If you have to work, that's another thing. But just to lay out and be sorry and don't come to the house of God, I don't believe that pleases the Lord. Do you? I just don't believe that pleases the Lord. He said in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but that much the more as you see that day approaching. He admonishes us and encourages us to be in the house of God. Why? Because we need it. Amen. Amen. We need it. We're living in a terrible day. Amen. We're living in a terrible time. I mean, this country is tossed about on everything in the world you can think of. And if there's any place that you're going to find comfort and refuge and help for your soul to keep on going for God, it's going to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. We need to be here. I wonder if he's going to say to you, you can be in church. But you didn't go. And he said, well, say, son, remember the times you could have been there and you just was too sorry to go? Oh, what a shame that's going to be. What disgrace that's going to be. What awfulness that's going to bring to us. To hear the Savior say, you ought to be there and worship me, but you didn't. Son, remember how you lay out of church. Son, remember. You see, eternity is not going to end our mind from the minute. It didn't end the rich man's mind from hearing Abraham say, son, remember. Is the Lord going to say to you, you could have been, but you wasn't? You went on Sunday morning, but you didn't go Sunday night. You could have went on Wednesday night, but you didn't go. Why didn't you go? He said, son, remember how you could have served me, how you could have been there, how you could have forsaken other things, and you didn't, and the work of God failed because you wasn't obedient to the things of God. Oh, listen, friend, we're living in a day where church has become an option. We go when we feel like it. Say amen. If it doesn't line up with our little agenda, if it doesn't line up with what we think that's important, if it's something we don't have nothing else to do, you know where we go? We go down to church house. And one day I wonder if Jesus is going to say, hey, son, remember how you could have made your life count for the Lord, and it didn't. Number two, right, the second thing now. Number two, I wonder if Jesus is going to say to you and I one day on the other side of eternity, oh, he's going to say, you could have helped others, but you was more concerned about yourself. Now, let me say to you, the Bible reminds us, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, we live in a day-to-day where if there's any place it ought to be, but it's not. And that is love in the house of God. Amen. I mean, it's hard to find churches today who will work together, and churches that have families that will work together, and moms and dads will work together, and children will work together for the cause of God. Now, hang on. I don't know where that prophet James is. Where is it? Brother James is out back there. Now, I understand. Wait a minute. Well, I understand. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, bring your tools, because there's going to be some working going on. Now, you say, well, preacher, I'm just too old to work. I can't drive a mail. I can't see the come and support anyhow. Bring your coffee pot. Bless God, pour coffee and hand it to them that is made it. Amen. I mean, help out somebody. Oh, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, there's going to be work going on. Now, some of you saw it in. Amen. Look up here. I ain't praying. Look up here. That's what I'm preaching this morning. Look up here. Some of you saw it in. You want to lay in bed on Saturday morning when down at the house of God, they're trying to build a prophet's chamber and trying to get the work done to save some money, and your sorry heart is laying in the bed.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. I mean, they ain't no reason I'm just telling it like it is, amen. I mean, just tell it like it is. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. Things are going on down at the house of God, and you need to have your hide down there.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Say amen. Bring your tool. Bring your truck. Bring your level. Bring your saw. Bring your hammer. Hey, there's something going on. Do unto others that they have. Do unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wonder if Jesus is going to say one day, you could have helped out on that Saturday. You could have helped out at the house of God. Son, remember how you had other things in mind rather than God's work. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me hit you ladies too. I thought y'all got away there. Now fellas, hey, look here, fellas, y'all pretty women now. Hey fellas, now wouldn't it be nice and bake some real nice bacon? Some kind of cake or I don't know what y'all bake. Barbecue or some sort of hamburger, hot dog, or pizza. I worked out in the hospital some. I tell you, every time I have some kind of social going on, it's always pizza. I hate pizza. My wife bought, we went to
singing the other day, and my wife bought one of them big jar nose. You know, come in the box, three in the box. We won't be buying more of that, I guarantee you that. That's more like cardboard than anything to eat my life. Hey, folks, what I'm saying is, hey, will the Lord one day look at you as a man or a woman and say, you could have helped out at the house of God, you could have done the others if you'd helped them done to you, but you didn't do it. Son, remember how you did not obey. What's God going to say to you? He's going to say something, remember? Oh, listen, friend. We live in a day today where it's you pull your wagon, I'm going to pull mine, and if your wheel falls off, God bless you. That ought not be how it is with the house of God. That shouldn't be the way it is in, among the family of the church house. I mean, it ought not to be that way. If you're saved, you ought to be concerned about others. Amen. Do unto others as you'd have them done to you. When I was growing up as a boy, I lived on a farm, 200-acre farm. I was raised a country boy. Wouldn't want to be nothing else. Raised on a farm. And we lived probably 2 or 3 miles apart. It wasn't like it is today, folks living on top of one another. We had no farmhouse. Only fireplace we had was a fireplace. We didn't have a stove that you heat the house with. No gas, no furnace, no nothing. Just over. But if our neighbor down the road, his, y'all know what a crib is? Y'all know what a crib is? Corn crib, y'all know. If you don't know what a corn crib is or a crib, ask your neighbor, they'll tell you. And the neighbor's crib burned down. Well, all of his corn was in the crib. And all the corn, I mean, it was rare. He couldn't feed his animals and the cows. And he couldn't feed his hog. He couldn't feed any of his animals. So you know what the neighborhood done? Hey, listen to me. You know what the neighbors done? One of the farmers donated the lumber enough to build him another crib. Some one of the other farmers donated enough corn to fill up his crib. Some of the other men came together with axes and hatchets and whatever to cut and hew the logs out so they could make him a crib. They all worked together to help that man get back on his feet. And you know what kind of day we're living in today? Crib burns down, God bless you, we pray for it. Isn't that the way Baptists do in 1900 and 2017? They pat you on the back and say, God bless you, I'm so sorry your car ain't working. And we're praying for you. Instead of going to Napa or going someplace and getting a part, coming back down there and having them fix his car, we just want to say, we think that's real spiritual. We think that's real doing something great. Pat him on the back and say, that we're praying for you. Praying for you don't help you fix his truck.
That's right.
Or his car. Say amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. We need to do more than just say, I'm praying for you. That's the biggest cop-out I've ever heard in my life. I'm praying for you. Well, did you hear about old John down there? He lost his job. His wife is hungry, got 4 or 5 little kids down there, and they ain't got no kind of food. I'm praying for you. Does that fill up the belly of them starving kids? Does that help him feed his family? No. Well, then why don't you do something about it? Why are you so tired with your dog bill that you will help somebody that's hungry?
Amen.
Go down there. Well, John, our church is praying. God bless you. And God bless you, and I'm praying for you, won't fill up an empty belly.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
little independent bad folk. We pray. You don't want to go pray for them than a man in the moon. When you walk away, you go to God.
Whatever number this is, I don't know. What time is it? Anybody got a watch on? Tell me what time it is. 12 o'clock. Be 12 o'clock we start it. Be 12 o'clock we get through. I'm just kidding you. You say, preacher, why? Abraham said to him, son, remember. I wonder if Jesus is going to say that to us one day. We stand before him and our name's read out and we have to give an account of this life, if he's going to say, son, remember when you could have helped somebody and you didn't, remember that you didn't do what you ought to have done and I impressed upon your heart to do it and you rebelled and you didn't do it, son, remember. You're going to remember how often it was you could give a word for the Lord, and you didn't. Now listen to me. I work with a bunch of heathens. Heathen, I'm talking about heathens. I work with a bunch of heathens down at the hospital. They're a bunch of heathens. You know, sometimes I walk in that door, they all call me Mr. Doug. Don't let them call me by my. They call me Mr. Everybody down there calls me Mr. I guess because of my age. Calls him a look. But they call me mister. And sometime before I get to the room, I hear them in that they just go. I mean, they just a rat. I mean, son, it's worse than a bunch of chicken in a chicken coop. They just go. And I just open the door, walk in, holler, Jesus! All of them stop. It's amazing what the name of Jesus does around a bunch of people. I'll just walk in there and holler, anybody died today? Well, you talk about changing the conversation, son, it changed. Ain't nobody going to call by time. And ain't nobody been called by Jesus. That kind of cuts it, kind of smooth that thing out. And they know all this old cussing and grand and carrying on. But he comes to switch his heart. Shh, 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 shh. Preacher's here. Shh. Preacher's here. Just stop. What do you say? I don't know how many times I've been in that place that I've given a word from the Lord. Every day I'm there, I preach to a bunch of people. Preacher. Hell, going to hell.
saved? No, I doubt it. But if hell gets saved, it will. Not all the seed you sow necessarily comes up. And everybody has a seed bag, and everybody has a bunch of land they're sowing in, and you sow every day you live. You're sowing seed. That means all the seed going to come up, but you can bet one thing for sure some of them is.
That's right.
Some sow, some water, God gives the increase. And may I say to you this morning, friend, the seed you sow, whether good or whether bad, is going to come up somewhere. It's going to come up. God doesn't stop the crop from growing. If you sow the seed, God will give the increase.
Amen.
And listen, you said, well, if I, the Bible said the fear of man brings a snare. We're afraid of who they are, what they'll say, whether they'll be vindictive toward us or they won't like us. Hey, let me ask you something. 1,000 years from now, what difference will it make? What do you care if they like you or not? 1,000 years from now, it's going to make no difference. And 1,000 years from now, they won't be where they're going throughout all the time. You don't work for the Lord. Oh, what do you say? How many times have we that are saved have given word for the Lord and it looks like there's no increase? Hey, just keep on sowing. After a while, the seed's going to come up. Amen.
Right.
Oh, what are you saying? Let's quit. How often those that's in your family or those that you know, relatives or kinfolk or ever, just the people you work with, how often God put them on your heart doing a service and you didn't come to an altar and pray or come to the front and sit on the pew and pray for them? I wonder if they die without God. Is the Lord going to say, son, remember? When I put that person on your heart to pray for, and you sat in the church service, and you didn't move, and you grabbed the back of the pew, and you held on, and you wouldn't listen, and you wouldn't pray, and you wouldn't move, he's going to say, son, remember? They're lost without God because you simply wouldn't do what you know you ought to do. You know how many of us are guilty of that? All of us. Every one of us. God put somebody on our heart. I know. We know somebody who needs the Lord. And we'll stand in the pew and hold on and sing. It won't move. Is God going to say to you, son, remember? Remember you could have done so and so for so and so. And you didn't. Then in closing, say this to you.